Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about religion. We've been holding this topic off for so long. I've been putting it in a lot of conversations, and so many people said, oh, we don't want to talk about that. We're afraid. It's scary. We don't want to offend people. Everybody has their beliefs. It's almost just as bad as politics these days. It seems like they've all got themselves all wrapped up in it. Here's the label. If you want to be able to come to my side, you can be my followers. Is that really what religion is all about? Is it truly what about the path to God is all about? What is our soul and our spiritual life? Have we just thrown away all the books and said, oh, I don't need that anymore, you know? I'm no big deal. I don't go to church anymore. I don't need the catechism, and I don't have to worry about it. I got things under control. But you come back several decades later, people say, you know, I have a spiritual path. Isn't that what we're talking about? Is all of the dogma and all of the fanfare and all of the rituals that are out there, maybe just the purpose is to find an intention in our soul for something greater than self. Can it be that simple? Wow, what about all the stakeholders? Today my guest is David Waddell. His book is Worship Wars: The Kings Lead the Battle to Spirit and Truth. David, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's my honor, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome. David, don't you think, is it all about fanfare, or where are we going, right?
it seems to be more and more about fanfare, but I think when it comes back down to it, it's the heart. It is right. The spirit and truth that dictates, in a lot of ways, who we are and what we become.
Let's talk for a second about how we got here in the first place. If we look back in history, we all talk about the gods. You know, we talk about the kings, we talk about the pharaohs, and what do they worship? Don't you think at times we tend to go with what presents in history, and we are all followers, and we all seem to be having a vested interest in the prophecy at that time? Don't you think maybe that's what history has played out?
It has in somewhat. I go to the phrase, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
The spiritual paths that people seek today are really no different than they were seeking in the days of these kings of Judah and Israel. Even those that biblically would say went after what they called false gods, they were still seeking something that was bigger than themselves. They were seeking help from something, recognizing their own inadequacies and their own inabilities. And so the search is nothing new, and even in my research for this book, I discovered that even the modern-day church is really a mirror image of the struggles that they went through to find truth.
You know, I think we've always seemed to be people who are always struggling. Do you think we're ever going to learn and get off this path? You know, it's sort of, you know, can we see and feel and connect and know that there is some energy, power, being, spirit, other than self, that put us here? You know, it's not like there's not storks going around in the sky, you know. There's not these cloning of people, or they're coming in spaceships. There is something there. And I think once we took away the magical mystery and the kind of not knowing, or maybe having a sense of knowing, and wanted to define it. Let's give it science. Let's give it validation, you know. That's kind of when it went away, don't you think?
In a lot of ways, I've said it this way, that The Bible says we are made in the image of God, and then what mankind does is instantly try to make God into whatever image they want it to be.
Right.
And our search for the spiritual ends up being wrapped up in the parameters that we give it in our own mind.
Yeah, even to the point where they say, what would God wear? What would God do? What would God go? What would God go? And it's sort of, well, maybe God's saying to you, what would you do? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. I've heard references. They say that heaven is described with streets of gold because the most thing, the thing we hold most precious on this earth is what they walk on up there. But still, that's a human description of something that we have no earthly idea of what it's going to be like.
Right.
But we have to put, I guess in our own minds, we have to put things in human terms.
Don't you think we've come a long way even in this lifetime? I remember, you know, the catechism, you memorized it. I went to Catholic schools, what you did. And it was kind of, you know, these were the requirements. And I almost feel like I went through school with blinders on and didn't. It was almost like I was in a daze or in a dream. I don't even remember most of it, you know. And it was almost as if we were intoxicated with something. It was something that was out there, but we kind of didn't get it. And we didn't care to either.
Right. I think in those days, I would say, yes, we have come a long ways. Because in the time that you're talking about, we were trying to follow a formula. If we do these things, then we'll feel peace. If we abide by these particular rules, then life will work. And I think what has happened in our world is we have people that will tell you, I did all those things, and I still went through a divorce. I did all those things, and I still got cancer. So, you know, where's my benefit coming? And I think out of those days, we've learned that the whole truth of it is not in following a formula or checking things off a to-do list, but just accepting love and accepting grace and knowing that there is a spiritual being that I refer to as my God that says, I'm with you. I got your back. You know, you may be going through all kinds of trouble, but I'm gonna be right here with you. And I think we've learned more as we've gone beyond those days. Now, Dr. Jeanette, I'll say that, and then just like that, I'll get a flat tire and think I'm being punished by God again. So legalism is easy to return to.
But you know what I think so, too, David? I think that it's also I can always see this where people will say, but it's right or it's wrong. It's right. It's always got to be left or right or left or right, and it can never be just to be okay. And I think a lot of people have been struggling of late with the idea of their own value. Am I enough? Am I worthy? And we look back and we say, you know, the church used to always say, you did that wrong, and you had to have penance. You know, you go to the doctor, oh, well, you got sick, but now I have to fix you, so you gave your power away there too, you know. And I think so. We had given our power of our sense of self to so many venues and so many things to be able to care for us or fix or tell us what to do that we didn't even know who we were anymore.
Excellent point. And to the people that feel unworthy or that they've given themselves away like that, the purpose in my first two books, which were characters of the Bible and holiday biblical characters, was to find a connection that the things that I do that are silly, stupid, or sinful were already done by Peter or Jacob or Joseph. And so those that have lost hope, I would say, hang in there. You know, you've probably gone through the same thing someone did that's, you know, mentioned in the best-selling book of all time.
Right.
That you know, it's not about the performance. It's just about being. It's about connecting with God or a higher power. That's where the secret comes in, I think. That's why the word spirit and truth, when Jesus told a woman about worship, he said, worship is done in spirit and truth. God is spirit, so you have to worship in spirit and truth. So it's not about where you are or what you're wearing or how you do it. And I think in some ways we just need to relax and quit striving so much and just be.
You know what I noticed here after Katrina in New Orleans was that better than half of the churches closed down after that. And they said, why? And they said, well, there's not enough people to be able to come. And we said, but there's a lot of people. We're all waiting here standing at the doors. They said, but there's not enough people to sustain us. And we say, what do you mean we aren't going anywhere? And they said, there's not enough people to pay for us. And they said, oh, now we got to the core. It's all about the money to be able to sustain and be able to keep things going. So I think really there was when things started to crack open. It was the year 2005. And I think if you look back in history, you could find that in other places around the country. Similar things around the globe were also happening at that time. And that's when a lot of churches did start to close because financially they had gotten themselves into a position where, you know, as many people may say, you have the mansion, 10 cars, 10 swimming pools, and 5 maids, and something's got to go.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that really that's when people started to say, I no longer have the need to show up and perform to be able to say, check, I did this for this week.
Right.
And I made sure, check, I did it every week. And also, too, I brought my check to be able to give them to them. So don't you think, in essence, that was the shift, or that was almost a catechismic kind of thing that was, it was just tumbling then?
It did, and oftentimes circumstances will do that. Katrina did it to a lot of folks on the Gulf Coast. The attacks of 9/11 in 2001 really shook the faith of people because there was almost this sense that America was the new chosen people of God, and how could this happen? And so life oftentimes will throw those curveballs at you that will shake up faith. And I think that in response to the ones that to the churches that close because there's just no money, you know, someone, gosh, it would just seem like someone step up and just say, look, I'll do this. The New Testament church, they didn't have paid staff, you know. Someone, Paul, the Apostle Paul himself, made tents for a living and preached on the side. So, I don't know how to say it, Dr. Jeanette, other than we've commercialized our faith so much that it has become that, you know, why do I give to the church? Well, so that we can have a pastor that preaches to us. And what some churches are finding out that, you know, there are some of the mega churches that are putting their services online. So someone will wake up, make a cup of coffee, and go to church in their pajamas in their living room.
And I think it's also, too, about vested interest. In other words, we get kind of caught up in this thing of what we can do and how we can take it forward. In other words, once that ball starts rolling, there's no stopping it, you know? It'll take everything out in its wake.
Correct.
And I think truly about the idea, you know, we saw this here in New Orleans, Adam. You know, it's always been like this along the Gulf Coast or in the Deep South. Is that they don't need a place. They don't need a bunch of stuff. They just worship wherever they are. And worship can be in song and dance. Worship can be at your table. Worship can be out in the streets.
Yes.
Worship can be anywhere. They don't see the separation of God and state or business and work or da-da-da-da-da. It just is, and it's part of the culture of the beings. Don't you think that that's truly something to experience that you really can't get anywhere else?
I think that's a fabulous point, Dr. Jeanette, because worship, again, is not about a place. It's about connecting where you are. I think of my father. The most worshipful moments I ever saw him have in his life was when he went fishing. He really communed with God more in nature than he ever did inside a building. In fact, he would look at the building folks and go, you know, I don't need you. I can find God out here. And so it really is. And in a lot of ways, worship is not an activity in a spot. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment to a greater power. There was a monk at one time named Brother Lawrence, and he was a dishwasher in a monastery. And some of the other monks came by and said, "Brother Lawrence, it's time to go to worship." And mm-hmm. he said, "I am worshiping. I'm washing
right.
dishes."
Right.
And so it is, again, I go back, it's that spirit. It's not the where you are, it's the who you're connecting with.
Don't you think we got caught up in the idea of everybody has to see you do it, so then it becomes real?
I'm sorry. That's just it's not necessarily funny. Ha ha! It's funny, strange. Yeah,
I know, but it isn't. It's so true. I mean, look, you could go walking in a church and you're pretty fancy, whatever, every single Sunday, and you could turn around and go home. And once that home door closes, all chaos takes out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, but I checked it off. I made my church attendance.
Right.
I looked good in front of the crowd. And you would even hear people talk like this, Dr. Jeanette. If someone got in trouble with some kind of crime or extramarital relationship or something,
mm-hmm.
they would say, "But he seemed like such a good guy in church."
Oh, I know.
You know, and so, we love to be seen. And
you know, it is so funny you just said that comment about being the good guy. I can remember after my first divorce, they said, "Oh, there must have been something wrong with you because he is such a wonderful guy. He is just the greatest thing." And I turned around and I said, "But it's okay that he was a very abusive and a drunk and that was okay." And they're like, "Oh, but it had to be you. What did you do? You didn't do anything right."
My gosh, Dr. Jeanette, you drove him to drink. Goodness.
I'm telling you, I know. And you know what? And we look back on that, and you know what, David? We bought that minutia.
Yeah.
We bought that in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We bought that kind of dialogue. And I think now in the year 2020, we're saying, "Oh, I am so not falling for that again," right?
Now the comment would come, "Why in the world did you put up with him for so long?"
You know,
we have at least grown from that. I know of people personally that have received counseling from their pastors that said, "You know, God hates divorce, so you stay in there, but he's abusing me." Yes, but you need to just pray for him. And
that's right.
And, you know, I don't argue with the fact that you need to pray for him, but you need
mm-hmm.
to pray for him from a distance.
You know what you need to do? You need to find another God, because God that's in that building has got some kind of tainted label on him.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And I think that I think, again, in our growth in grace, we have discovered this. I have shocked people because I went through a divorce myself, and a lot of it was my fault. Most of it was
no
not
fault.
All of it was my fault.
There's no fault.
But people are shocked to hear that God in the book of Isaiah said, "I am divorcing you, Israel, for your continued unfaithfulness." And I'm thinking, whoa, God was divorced.
Yeah.
So, you know, but in a legalistic mindset, they can't handle that. And I think all of that, what I'm doing is trying to get full circle back that it's not about what has happened to us or what we have caused to happen. It still comes down to a spirit connection. With God, that regardless, because when you look at the people in the Bible, I mean, there were some ugly, evil people,
mm-hmm.
and yet God loved them. He used them in making his story, and he'll do the same with us.
Don't you think it's all about, we've now come to the point where we're starting to learn the definition of the word unconditional. And I think we've lived many eons with conditions.
Yes.
Left, right, up, down, you show me, I show you. It's kind of like, you know, how many stacks we got against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, even we've seen it in our obituaries. How long can they be and how many tokens can we have in there? Now, people will say, "Just cremate me, throw me to the air. I don't really care," you know, because they've learned more about unconditional love, unconditional caring, compassion, empathy. So I think now maybe the soul has finally said, "We've had enough of this human existence. You all have played in the play in the sandbox long enough. Time to wake up." And now we're waking up, don't you think?
I would agree. And I think a part of that as well is those that understand mercy the best are those that have received mercy.
Yes.
I'm very forgiving of people that have made the same mistakes I am because I was granted grace. I paid some penalties for my sins, continue to do so. But overall, I'm loved. I'm home. I have a Father in heaven that wants to hug me and let me sit in his lap and tell him what happened today. And, you know.
But David, do you think that, the idea of when mistakes is almost like as if, as soon as I say the word, I could see the nun standing in the front of the classroom banging that stupid yardstick on her desk. But at any rate, when we think about mistakes, don't you think sometimes that was just an opportunity knock on the door that says, would you like to come this way? I think I can show you a different way. So in other words, it wasn't a mistake. It was the road you were on. And then you just evolve to learn differently. In other words, we can't always be running around in prevention all the time of falling. We have to fall.
Yes.
We can't run around in prevention of not getting sunburned. We got to go out in the sun, you know? So can we not also, too, take those same leeways with our life and just say, okay, it happened, period, but I grew from it.
Excellent, excellent point. And it is, I call them mistakes or boo-boos,
mm-hmm.
but in reality, and I tell the students in one of my leadership classes at the University of Mississippi, if those things had not happened in my life, I would not be here teaching.
Right.
If some of the things, and this is the fun of life, is sometimes things happen because I made a bad choice. Sometimes things happen because someone made a bad choice for me or around me. But nevertheless, we are where we are today because of where our life has taken us. So, you know, I would not wish the wake of pain that I've caused on other people ever to happen again. But I also have to look at it and say, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to Dr. Jeanette today had some
right.
of those things not happened. And so the quotation mark mistakes in my life have actually vaulted me into more influence than I would have had to begin with.
Right. Because I think when you can go through the fire, when you can grow through the challenges and you get on the other side, you say, hey, you know, that thing that you were fearing is not such a big deal. Or I can climb out of those ashes. Do you see? This is how you brush them off. And then you say, this is how I can grow from it.
Uh-huh.
So then in essence, when you get on that other side, are you not a seed for the truth?
Very much so. And also an incredible word of encouragement to others. If you fall and you cut yourself and it leaves a scar, you're able to talk about the fall, but you're also able to talk about how you've recovered, how you've been restored.
Right.
And so I think even that aspect of life is that some things happen because then I'm able to help others. I've known of several cancer survivors that have told me, they would not wish that upon themselves or anyone else, but because they went through it, they are now helping other people that go through it.
Right. So in a way, aren't you exactly doing what God has asked us to do, was to walk the path, to fall and flaunt, to
yes.
be able to see and grow, and to be able to get up again, to plant the seeds, to spread the word going forth?
Exactly.
Isn't that what we're doing?
It is. And I think, Dr. Jeanette, if we ever play what I call the what-if game, what if I hadn't done that, what if I had done this,
mm-hmm.
what I'm basically saying to God is, you know, I know better.
Right.
I could have done it better. And someone pointed out to me once that the earthly father of Jesus, Joseph, had it not been for the disrespect and disobedience of the people of Judah, he would have been the king.
Right.
Because he was right in line, but here he is, he's a carpenter, and you kind of wonder, when he get a splinter, does he look at his hand bleeding and say,
right.
I could have been king. But he played a perfect role in helping raise Jesus in a godly way. You know, he was as responsible for Jesus becoming the king of the Jews as God the Father was.
Mm-hmm.
He helped raise him. And So the what if game just gets us in trouble.
Right. It sure does. So let's talk for a second, David. When things start to fall, I always say, get out of the way. Turn to the side, turn to the left, and let it fall. You know, I think our sense of rescuing, of being able to hold it and control it, we see this a lot when maybe someone in a relationship or a family decides to say, I no longer believe in that. And everyone starts to believe that then you no longer believe, period. And they tend to, it's almost as if you're being stoned or ostracized, mm-hmm. even in this day and age, don't you think?
I would agree. We have these set standards of what we're supposed to believe, and when someone ventures away from that, we automatically label them not us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not one of us now. And I've told folks that have said, you know, I want to explore some other type of belief system. My statement has always been, if you look for the truth, it will find you.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
I sure can, Dr. Jeanette. And let me just say thank you for the opportunity. I've had a blast this afternoon getting to talk with you. The places to go, one is my website is www.davidwaddell.biz. That's DavidWaddell.biz. The other place is facebook.com/justlikebiblicalpeople, without any spaces, just like biblical people. That is my Facebook page. It's titled Characters of the Bible. My writing seems to stay on characters, and even a fourth idea I have is going to be more of a character-based study as well. And I guess that's because I've been a character all my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the website has an email, but it is in trouble right now. So charactersofthebible@gmail.com is an email that people can reach me at if they want to seek further questions or even open discussions with me. Would be glad to discuss any of these topics or issues with them.
Absolutely. Well, it was great speaking to you, David, you know, because I think I just want to lighten up the story. You know, I can tell you honestly, you know, I have sang and played the organ for so many Catholic masses in Latin in my day. I was so ticked off the day that they turned the priest around and they brought in that guitar. I'm like, what is the difference here? It took all the mystery out of the whole thing. And now we're going to talk in English because you want to know about it. It's sort of like, weren't you paying attention? Oh, good grief.
I love it. Well, Dr. Jeanette, thank you so much. It's been an honor and a treat, and thank you for your ministry. Thank you for what you do in helping people just in their own healing and in their own comfort of life.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much for being with us.
You bet.
If you'd like to find out more information about David Waddell, again, his book is Worship Wars, The Kings Lead the Battle to Spirit and Truth. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to his website. And it truly is about being able to be light of the story, of the engagement of the dogma, and be able to realize that faith, love, compassion, grace, hope, and faith are truly the cores of your spirit and how you can connect with God or that which is the energy source that you currently are being able to connect with. It is all about the human experience and make light of our life because that's what it's all about. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow,
today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.